As Charlie mentioned, it first got started by his mom and dad, Amy and Balky Mahler. And they got together and started in 1979. And then 1980, we got our first pastor, Bill Ball. And they had their first service in the Founders Chapel, which is, we still have it and keep it in good shape. And if it was a smaller group than what we have, we would have been next door in the Founders Chapel. In 1982, we had Pastor Jim Klubnik come along, and you'll see DTS several times. Who knows what that stands for?
Dallas
Theological Seminary. We have been very blessed that all of our pastors, starting with Jim Klubnik, and every pastor since then has been a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary. I don't think it gets much better than that at all. Then, in 1983, we had the first addition to the church, which was the kitchen, nursery, and classrooms. Charlie, how am I doing? Am everything true so far?
So far, yes.
So far, okay, good, thank you.
You're doing good.
After that, Pastor Jack Castle came along, another DTS grad, and then in 1987, the new sanctuary was built, which we were married, okay? And that's known as the coffee house now, but at one time, that was where the sanctuary and the worship service took place. In fact, some of these chairs may actually have been back then, back there then. Yes?
Where was the kitchen, nursery, and classrooms?
Charlie, that was over...
That was the what's known as the little storage children building. No, the nursery stuff was in one of the smaller buildings over here.
Okay, that was before my time, so...
You have a picture of it. The top middle picture, the little... That was the nursery and stuff.
Right here?
Yes.
So
okay.
Is that no longer there then?
Yeah, it's the country store.
It's the country store now.
Oh, got it. Okay.
It's a workshop for a lot of construction.
Storage more than anything else.
Then in 1990, Keith Bauer became our pastor. And he was here for 17 years. And let's see. Time to move forward. So we had staff expansion in 1995. And then in 1997, the Family Life Center was completed. That's where we are now. We're in the Family Life Center. So that was built in 1997. In 1998, was the beginnings of our ties to East Africa. And we could really have a session just on that. It's been amazing what this church has done in the way of building churches, sending teams over there, doing hut-to-hut evangelism, giving the gospel in prisons and schools, and I don't know, I can't remember how many churches we've actually built. At least a dozen, isn't it?
No, it's much more than that.
But we've built many churches over there and have sent many teams over the years. Even during the early days of being over there, we started an orphanage. And we have, I know, over 150 children in the orphanage. And now it's its own freestanding organization. But it got its beginnings and its start from this church and the missions work that we did over in East Africa. After that, we unfortunately had a church split in 1999. In 2001, there was the planting of the Cornerstone Community Bible Church. We had an associate pastor here at Grace, and we sent him over and started that new church back then. In 2008, we had a Healing the Heart of Your Church, which was when this church and the church split church got back together, healed our existence, I guess, at that time. And that was also 2008 was the year that Pastor Dave came on board as our pastor. 2009, a land expansion. 2010, we started Awana here. 2011, we began the construction of the multipurpose building, which we call the rec building, which is the farthest building away from here, with the basketball courts, and then we have classrooms, and then we have a student area in that building. That's when we started in 2011. 2012, we went debt-free, and we still remain debt-free to this day. And we finished building the rec building in 2014. And as I'm sure you've all seen, in 2020, we started building the new sanctuary next door. So, what did I leave out, Charlie?
That's it so far.
Okay, very good. So, we'll start with our culture. You'll see that we're independent and non-denominational. That means we don't have associations with a denomination, and we go through them to pick our new pastor or to find a youth minister. Nothing. We're 100% independent, so we handle everything through our elders and so forth. As people have mentioned, we're warm, loving, and hospitable. Hopefully you've picked up on the Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and Bible practice that we do here at Grace. We're mission-oriented, and in the last session you'll hear more about us being mission-oriented in session 3. Whoops. So, we're conservative and fundamental in our approach. And, Charlie, do you recognize anyone up here by any chance? Like maybe these two?
Yeah. I recognize those two. Yeah, I recognize everybody
else. Yeah, I was going to say you'd recognize all of them.
Tell me the names. I know that's the bulky, that's the ballers there. Uh-huh. And then Ray Nord is over here on the right
Ray
side.
Ray Nord's on the far right. Yeah. Top right is Buddy and Carol Edwards. And then the...
McCausland.
Margaret McCausland. And then, gosh, I'm blanking out.
Parham.
Ms. Parham. She was a widow that started with the Bible study.
And this over here, this is Dave after 50 years of being at the church. This is what he'll look like. We did some advancing.
That's promising.
Well, you hope you look that good.
Yeah.
I wish I looked that good now.
let me just say, I was in Sunday school classes with Mr. North, Ray North, and he's the one that taught me about old sin nature. So this has been a Bible church. I mean, that's what I remember from way back from when I was a little kid. So it's good that that tradition continues with this church. Mm-hmm.
Okay, our purpose, I think I went one. Yeah, we're going to discuss for the next 4 slides our purpose, which will be Jesus' charge to the church, what Paul described the church to be like, and how that plays out at Grace. So Jesus' charge, a couple of Bible verses, and they're listed in your binder there at the bottom. And so let me read, I'll read those, starting with Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then Acts 1, 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So next, you get the arrows. Yeah, make disciples, nations, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. And we will go, we will baptize, we will teach, and we will observe. So, some of the things that Apostle Paul taught us, we'll look at Ephesians 3, 8 through 10, and Colossians 1, 24 through 29. Let me read those, and then we'll come back to the plan of the mystery. So, in Ephesians 3, 8 through 10, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Colossians 1, 24 through 29. Now I receive in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. You gotta be careful. Some of these buttons are pretty quick to go. So we're gonna look at how that works out, how it plays out here in Grace. GCBC, Grace Community Bible Church. The G would be to reach out to the local community and beyond with the gospel of Jesus. How do we go about doing that? Well, we do it through personal evangelism, through Awana, through VBS, and our youth and world missions work. We want to connect, guide people into a relationship with Jesus, and get them into a local church. Notice this is a local church. It's not, maybe not necessarily this church, because they could live in a certain part of town where you may end up helping them find a good Bible-believing church to attend, but we want to present the gospel in our sermons on Sunday, and then also personal invitations that we would give to individuals. We want to make sure that we're prepared to share that good news with others. Next is the B, build up, train people in God's word, and then help them apply it. The way we do that is through Sunday school, through Bible studies, through small groups, through evangelism training, through financial wisdom training. And then, last but not least, the C, commission, strive to develop mature disciples and send them when they are ready. And we do that through short-term missions trip. We support many different missionaries. Some have become missionaries, and others full-time workers in the church. And that wraps up my section, so I will be turning it over to Dave.
Now, sometimes we have a little break here. It all depends what people feel like. Do you think you need a break? Mm-hmm. Nah, he didn't go that long, did he? It wasn't that dry. Okay. Okay, I can't even see from here. Need to get out of yours.
Yeah, did you, I think you can just push the...
Really a bad angle. Looking for the exit, there's shut this, there's an exit in there.
What happens when you hit it?
There we go. Okay. All right. Well, whenever you get a group of people together, and it doesn't matter if it's church, the military, business, wherever, right off the bat, somebody's going to have to be a leader. Or a group of leaders, right? Otherwise, things are going to get very chaotic. And so we think it's really important to talk to you about how leadership handles issues in our church government here. People come from all sorts of backgrounds, and depending on your background, you might have seen things handled in various ways that are going to be quite different from here. In some cases, it might be similar, but the point is, we don't want you to get frustrated because you're thinking, why do they run things at Grace the way they do? Why don't they do it this way? Or I'm not even sure how they make decisions. So we think that's really important for people to know. And so what I always like to do, the very first thing, is I like to find out people's backgrounds. And so I do this every single time. And it's always surprising, and I won't tell you what the surprise is. I'll tell you later what the surprise is. But first of all, how many of you come from a Catholic background? Okay? About four of us? Okay. We get a lot of ex-Catholics, by the way. A lot of folks from the Catholic Church come here. In fact, some on several occasions, the majority of folks in this class are ex-Catholics. Just folks that feel like they weren't getting taught the Bible or something, or feeling very confused about what they see the Catholic Church doing. How many of you are from an Episcopal church? We rarely get Episcopal people. I don't know why.
They stay at their church.
Yeah. How many of you are from a Presbyterian background? Okay. Every Bible church I've been at, we've always had a lot of Presbyterian folks. When I did my pastoral internship in New Mexico, when I was a very young man, a lot of the folks in there were Presbyterian. When I was in Dallas at a church teaching Sunday school, a lot of folks were ex-Presbyterians. A lot of Presbyterians are pouring into Bible churches. And I'll say why later. But Presbyterian, okay? How many of you are from a Lutheran background? Okay? Nobody here from Lutheran? How many Church of Christ? Okay, we've had a lot of Church of Christ before. How many of you from a charismatic slash Pentecostal background? Maybe First Assembly of God or something like that. Okay? How many of you are from a church and you have no clue? I mean, there's non-denominational with a capital N-D. I mean, it's like, I don't know what we were. We were. It could be you were meeting at a office strip and you just had this sign that said worship place and that was it. Anybody from something like that? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Baptist. Any Baptist? Oh, okay, there we go. Get the Baptist on the When I was at Dallas Seminary back years ago, one of the professors would ask people's backgrounds. And invariably, half the class was ex-Baptist. So, and I'm going to take that back. It wasn't ex-Baptist. What it was guys from Baptist backgrounds. And part of the reason is a lot of well-known Baptist preachers, you know, Stanley and others, are sending their kids to Dallas Seminary. Part of the reason was some of the Baptist seminaries were struggling with conservative views, and so where do you go? You dump them into Dallas. Or you might dump them into Trinity. There's several quality, Westminster. There's a lot of quality seminaries out there. And the problem is it's dwindling. A lot of seminaries that Princeton was once, B.B. Warfield, I mean, Princeton was once a fabulous seminary, and as time has gone on, it's liberalism has eaten away at it. And this is happening to a lot of the seminaries. Dallas and several other seminaries are trying to stand firm, but many pastors, what they will do if they're Baptist, they'll send their kids to Dallas Seminary. Which is why, in church government, you'll see Baptist churches now starting to have elders. Because that's what you learn at Dallas. as elders run churches. Okay. So all that to say is, it gives me a little bit of a sense of what your background is, but depending on your background, you might be sitting here going, well, you know, how can we do it this way? So we want to explain how we do things, why we do things. And we think that's important for you to know. Okay? And what I like to do is just do a real quick survey right off the bat, because sometimes you're in here and you're thinking, well, this is my background, and I really think this church ought to be this way. I'm here because I can't find another church that's good that's like that I want to be at. So I try to make a little bit of defense for us, very brief. There's basically three types of churches. A church with a real hierarchy, which in my mind is almost like a monarchy, and that's a church which we would call it a high church. Episcopal churches are the best example of that. Okay, an Episcopal church, Anglican church, Catholic church, where you have your authority in your church is not anywhere in that building. It sometimes can be thousands of miles away. It can be at the Vatican. But your authority in that church has nothing really to do with those leaders there. They can be replaced at a moment's notice by somebody way on up. And as a result, it's much like a monarchy. You as an individual have very little to say. Okay? Go ahead. Did you have a question?
No, we're just talking about Methodists. Yeah.
Oh, I left out Methodists. How many Methodists?
I was pre-marriage.
Well, that didn't count. My name was Methodist.
I'm with pre-marriage Methodist.
Oh, you talk about, Methodists once were really strong as far as their conservative views. But
they also have a leadership far off.
They do, and every 5 years they'll come in and yank a pastor. And that's, Wesley's yes. idea back in the circuit preachers. That made sense way back then, and they still do that. Methodists used to be a really good denomination. I mean, it had some works like every denomination, but it used to be a place where you knew the Bible was being taught.
I was in one that the Bible was not taught.
Yeah, that's becoming the norm. There's a really good one in the Woodlands. I have people in my old church that are on staff there, but those are becoming rare like diamonds. You gotta dig. Episcopal Church, Anglican Church, Roman Catholic, and Methodist, what you have is a hierarchy that really determines what goes on where you're at. Now, actually, the word Episcopal Church comes from one of three different words that's used to describe church leadership. Okay? If you were in Acts chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 20, you'll see the word bishop show up. Sometimes it's translated overseer. It's the word episkopoi, and I'm saying episkopoi because it's plural. Okay, the episkopoi versus episkopos. But the idea is you look in the Bible, and in Acts chapter 20, where Paul's writing, if you recall, he's addressing the elders of Ephesus at Miletus, and he's addressing these elders, and he refers to them as elders. And then later he says, God has made you overseers to shepherd the flock. So you have three terms used there for the very same guys. They're called overseers, episkopoi. They're called elders, presbyteroi. That's where we get Presbyterian. And they're also said that they shepherd the church. And the word shepherd point me. So you have all three terms in the same passage used synonymously. Okay? That's why at a Bible church, we don't have this hierarchy. You got bishops way over there, okay? And then you have another person in charge of this, and another person in charge. There are three different levels. There's only one level. An elder is an overseer who shepherds, okay? And that's why it's so simple here at Grace. We've got a board of elders, all right? We don't see any other differentiation between bishop or an elder, because they're used synonymously in Acts 20. Okay? So, in my mind, an Episcopal church, it's a hierarchy church. You don't have much say about what goes on there. What's the polar opposite of that? Polar opposite of an Episcopal church?
Congregational
church! You betcha, congregational church, which most of our Puritan forefathers were congregationalists. A congregational church, examples of congregational churches are primarily Baptist churches. In other words, instead of all the authority being at the top, it's not and maybe miles away, it's right there in that church body, and you vote and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote on everything. You might be voting on the carpet and the new toilets in the building, etc., etc., etc. So it's the polar opposite of the church, which is has this hierarchy, which I view as more of a monarchy. A pure democracy is almost what the Baptist church is. Okay? Now, we struggle with the idea of a monarchical type church because we don't see any differentiation between those terms, but we also struggle with the notion that this is some big democracy. And everybody gets an equal vote. And the reason why is because it's very, very clear. I think you've got passages. I'm not sure what's in the notes, but in 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, chapter 4, verse 17, it says, you know, the elders who rule over you. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 13, it makes mention of showing respect to those who rule over you. Okay? The word rule there is the same word that's used for Christ rule. Elders rule. Now, that doesn't mean dictators and you have no say or anything like that. It just means they're supposed to be ruling in the church. So there is a difference. There is the congregation, and there are elders who are supposed to rule the church. Okay? We think that's clear as a bell. In fact, that's why Paul calls all these guys aside and says, you're the overseers, you're the shepherds of the group. Okay? There's sheep, and there's shepherds. Okay, so the idea of elder rule is not going to be a democracy at all. In fact, no chalk. I always like to draw a line here and show. And the one extreme, if you have, say, Episcopal or hierarchy, a hierarchical church, and then the other side you have a purely democratic church, a democracy, where would grace fall? Well, we tend to fall more towards a Presbyterian, and that is elder rule. So we're not at this extreme. Okay, we're not. The only time you guys are ever going to vote is going to be once a year, and it's for the budget and for electing your elders and deacons. We're not going to call you to vote on the colors for this new building. We're not going to call on, now we might ask. I've asked people before who I have respect for, maybe because I know their background or whatever, but the elders make those decisions. Getting input, and people can always walk in our office and just say, hey, you know, I do construction, here's what I think. Well, then I might have to sit down, I want to hear what you have to say. But the elders are supposed to rule, in our opinion, and as a result, we don't fit in those two categories. We don't fit in this category of this monarchy-type situation where your opinion means nothing, and opinions of people thousands of miles away do mean something, and we're not over here where your opinion means everything. And so we're going to vote on every single thing we do here. Those two we don't see as biblical. So we're kind of in the middle. Kind of in the middle, which is, in our opinion, a little more like what you see at a Presbyterian church. Okay? And that's why, by the reason, a lot of Presbyterians, if their church is not conservative, they will go to a Bible church. Because that's where they will feel at home. They see elder rule. All right? And by the way, let me just say this. I would never pastor a church that didn't have elder rule. Because what typically will happen is if you don't have elder rule, you're going to have a dictator. That's what's going to happen. On our elder board, I have no more authority than any of those other elders. I never try to ramrod something. I never say something like, y'all don't know what you're talking about. Because I have no more authority than any of those other elders. All right? Now, they might expect me to have certain expertise in certain areas, but I also have elders that have certain expertise in their areas. So whenever there's a decision made and elders make a decision, what you can't say is, well, David, he made the elders do that. That's never the case. Okay. And by the way, that means when you talk to an elder, you're not talking at a guy that, well, that elder probably has nothing to do with anything around here. All the elders are equal. Okay? Yeah, Chris?
I know you just recently had elections for elders and stuff. I know you're an elder, so are you automatically an elder? Because
it's part of the Constitution. In our Constitution, and the reason why is theological. In Acts 20, because the one who's called a shepherd is also an elder and an overseer, so if I'm shepherding, I have to be an elder because they're synonymous terms.
Right. I wonder if you ever got voted out, how that would...
No, I don't even get voted on. Yeah. I get kicked out. Somebody's kicked me out. And by the way, that would be an elder decision. And that would have to be something where a lot of people were really upset, and the elders were really upset, and agreed with everybody. Yeah. Okay. So we're most like a Presbyterian church. The difference might be that even within the Presbyterian, you have a presbytery. For instance, the churches that we're building over in Africa are Presbyterian. That was one of the questions when I was hired. Dave, can you work with Presbyterian churches? I said, sure. Because we're planting churches in Africa and it's Presbyterian. Okay? So we're working with those folks. They have certain issues they have to deal with. They have an assembly. They have a synod. And they're very conservative themselves, but that's not the case with the assembly. In fact, they're trying to distance themselves. And basically, there's a little bit of a power struggle because the bigger group is not conservative. The group we work with is very conservative. And so you're getting a little bit of dissonance. Okay? So we don't have any, there's no appeal here. If you feel like, well, I think grace is going the wrong direction, there's one place you go. Elders. You can't call up and say, well, okay, who's running this church? There's nobody else running this church. Or there's no synod, there's no assembly, there's nobody else you can appeal to. You'd appeal to the elders here. And by the way, if there's a concern, the elders want to hear it. We're a very approachable elder board. People can come in my office anytime. So we expect and we hope that people would bring something to our attention if they're concerned about it. And we have had, when there are some security issues here at our church, there are some shootings at other churches. Some of the ladies in our churches came to us and said, David, and caught some of theirs, what about those shootings over there? What about if a guy came in here? So, you know, we got together and we had some deputies and a sheriff come in here. We got together a security team. We have a policeman in our church who is over our security team. They might not be so visible to you, but there's about 12 guys who are on security. Probably half the church carries anyway. My biggest concern is if some guy comes in and drives something stupid, is us shooting ourselves. I mean, that's really my concern. We got guys with guns all over the place. We just ask guys not to have them, you know, visible. Okay? But we have a security team, and a policeman is over that. We have a gunsmith, Cody, who's Bree's husband, who's highly involved with that. He's that young fella you've been seeing out there shaking his hand. We're making a shooting range out in the back. We have good, we've got some rounds.
If you're a man, this the first Saturday in March.
The 4th. It's the 4th, isn't it?
It's the 6th, I think.
Well, it's the first Saturday. Yeah.
He was correct.
He had it right the first time.
The first Saturday of March, men's breakfast and skeet shooting.
Well, they did have one a couple of years ago. Some gals got real pumped about it. In fact, we did one, and then I think we had a co-ed one. But all you have to do is talk to Lauren Wagner. She's over women's ministry, but she's the one that started up that time. They had it.
All right.
And we do the skeet shooting right here on the property.
In the back.
Yeah.
So you don't have to pay $25 and go drive somewhere. Just bring your shells, your shotgun, and what we do is we have a big breakfast, and the guys go up back, and it's all organized. We have four or five the electronic, you know, they shoot it out for you, and then they keep score and everything.
Wow.
And if you want to feel like, gee whiz, can I sit and shoot some more? Yeah. So.
Can you bring friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, how old is it you call a man? Over 18?
Well, you know, some guys that come to men's breakfast will bring their 16-year-old son or 15-year-old son, so yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do people have extra shotguns?
Oh, there's always lots of extra shotguns.
You don't have to own your own shotgun. There's men that will loan you their shotguns. It would be nice to bring your own shells.
Yeah.
And I think a year ago it was very hard to find shells.
Yeah.
I think we had to delay it for a while because it was difficult to find ammunition.
You know, you have to kind of go to academy on a Wednesday morning earlier, something like that. But you can find them out there. I've been to Walmart. Every time I go to Walmart, I just meander back there. And they might have two boxes and I just grab them. So... that's real nice because, you know, it's all free back here. We buy the clay pigeons. All you're at is, well, it used to be $5.50 for a box of shells. It's quite a bit more than that now, but, you know, I think at Walmart I got them last time for $7.50 or something, so that's also going to cost you. Yeah. But all that, I've rabbit trailed is what's happened there. What I was saying was, we started that up, and it's mainly because some of the ladies, now the guys were aware of it too, but it just takes a couple ladies to bark the loudest and say, hey, you know, this is really unsafe. And then that's a chain of events. We didn't used to lock our buildings. You could walk in here while I'm preaching, mm-hmm. and somebody could walk right into that children's building. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we started locking everything up, and not only do we lock everything up, but then we also have guides at certain spots. Mm-hmm. And in the sanctuary, we usually try to fan them out, you know, so you've got guys at different corners or something like that. So there's people there that are watching. And during the service, the front door is locked, and there's a guy sitting there. And they all have little earbud type things, and they can communicate. Okay, there's usually a guy in the back of this, at the back of the sanctuary, because if somebody enters, and they come in, he's got that back wall. Immediately, he has a back shot of the guy who's walking in. So we usually have a guy back there that's armed. So, and again, all that is because of people saying, "Hey, what happened down there by San Antonio could happen here."
Yeah, it's getting bad.
So. Now, any questions so far? You can ask a question at any time. So all that to say is we're very independent. Now, I will say this, even though we're very independent, we do try to work with Dallas Seminary if there's something that we're kind of, you know, unsure about. It's not hard for me to pick up a phone and call a professor. And depending what the issue is, I might talk to a pastoral ministry professor whose expertise is in church planning and church affairs and say, hey, we're going through this. In fact, the situation, the healing of the heart, which is back right when I got here, I mean, they were going through the process as I was walking in the door. They got, I think Kenneth Quick, and he was a graduate of DTS, wrote a book. In fact, our school is, or our church is in that book. You can read about our church and some of the things there. So anyway, there is a place that we can go ask questions to. We're not averse to getting some advice from people who you know, have some expertise in church relations and such. But we're just very, you know, autonomous. I mean, we basically do here what we want to do. It's just that when you go to a Dallas Seminary-led church, we're cookie cutter. We're all going to look very similar, because it's all out of Dallas Seminary. So the only variance will be typically, do they have an organ and a piano or a band? That's about the only difference with Bible churches today. Okay? The theology is much the same.
It better be.
Yeah.
Coming off the same basis, right?
Well, unfortunately, there's been some guys who graduated from Dallas that have kind of gone off the deep end like any school.
Right.
You know? But the thing is, a typical church's elders aren't going to have any interest in that, because Bible church people are real steadfast, and this is what the Bible says, and we're not going anywhere
else.
That's
what I meant. Yep. That's what I meant.
So they're not going to put up with it. Okay. I've already mentioned that the elders we vote in every single year. Let me go ahead and just show you our elder board. I think it's good for you to know who your elders are. Let's see if I can... I don't like these type of curses. I like maps. Feel there slowly.
Did the elders vote on that cursor?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Alan Gilley. Alan Gilley is our present chairman of the elder board. Now, a chairman doesn't mean, well, he's the top guy on that elder board. A chairman just means he's the guy that calls the meeting to order, he leads the discussion, he sets the agenda. He has no more authority than anybody else, but oftentimes he's our spokesman as well. So Alan's been here for a number of years. I think very highly of Alan. He's been a huge plus for our church. Charlie Mahler, he took off a little bit ago. Charlie's over our buildings and grounds, and he was the one that works more closely with the deacons. I want to explain this about our elder board. Every elder has a certain ministry he's over. In fact, I think that's listed in your book. Okay? If you have a particular issue that you're very concerned about, there's usually a person there that you would talk to. For instance, I'll make one up. You don't like what's going on in children's ministry. I think that Amy is just goofing up in this area every time I turn around. Who's the first person you talk to? Amy. The Bible makes it clear, Matthew 18, if you've got an issue with somebody, you first go to that person. And the reason why is she might be very aware of it and like some help. Okay, so you always go to that person first. By the way, that's the way you do it in the business world. If you've ever been in a business world and somebody skips over you, you hate it. Okay, so if there's an issue, you go directly to that person. If you say, that Charles Johns, that worship stinks. It's just terrible. Who should you go to first? Charles. And say, Charles, I like what you do, but these things are just stinker, just anathema. Okay, you go to that person first. Now, if you go to that person and they say, I don't care what your opinion is, then you start moving up the ladder. And that will tell you how you move up the ladder. Because there's an elder over that. Who's the elder? Now, I happen to be over a lot of the different ministries just because I'm full-time staff. And these guys have jobs. Well, not everybody has a job.
I used to. For 43 years, I had.
He was with AT&T for 40-some years. Now he just rides his motorcycle around.
On my bicycle.
Yeah, your bicycle. Okay? So if you were to run to me and say something, well, let me change that since my two examples are people I'm over. Let's say you ran to Chris and said, Chris, I just don't like the praise team worship here at all. Chris is going to say, well, I think you need to talk to Dave. He's the elder over, immediately over praise team.
No, I would say, have you talked to Charles already?
Well, yeah, that's what you start with. But let's say you've talked to Charles and he's blown you off. You talk to me. Okay? Now, let's say you come to me and you go, Dave, you did not listen. Then you can talk to all the elders. You see how we work that? Because the elders might disagree with Dave. But you always talk to your immediate, the person who's involved with that ministry, and then you go to the person who is the elder over that ministry. And if you're unhappy there, you can appeal to the elders. And by the way, that doesn't bother us at all. It does not bother us one bit if you walk up and say, hey, I've talked, and that's happened before. I've talked to, we had a youth pastor. I've talked to him, and he just doesn't listen. Okay, I'll talk to him. And I sit down and talk with him. Okay? And then if it's still not resolved, we'll take it up in elder board. What we don't like is if you run behind people's backs. And here's a terrible thing sometimes that happens in churches. They'll write something and stick it in the offering box. Now, but here's the thing about Bible churches. Not only are we notorious for Bible teaching, but also boxes in the back. We don't pass plates here. When I first started pastoring back years ago in Huntsville, I remember I met with the elders, and they said, well, Dave, we only have one rule in this church, because they already knew my background. I mean, we all lined up theologically. I said, well, what's that? We're never going to pass a plate here. Bible churches are notorious for not passing a plate. Okay, we don't like it. And we've never needed to, as far as giving. In fact, most Bible churches don't. Because to be, without sounding arrogant, most people that go to a Bible church are biblically attuned enough to know they need to support their church. They don't need a piece of brass going in front of them to remind them. If they believe what you're doing, they're going to give. And so we've never passed a plate. I don't think we ever will. In fact, when we have Jews for Jesus, we'll get somebody here every year, and it's usually a very high-ranking person, sometimes from overseas. We're going to have a Russian guy here come, Passover weekend. When we get these fellows, we've had Gideons here, people from different. We have Joseph Phillip will be here. He's a traveling apologist. When we get these people in here, they usually will say, "Well, we'd like to pass a plate." Love offering. That's the truth. Love offering. We don't do love offerings. First of all, nobody's got any cash around here. And nobody writes checks. So, but the other thing is, I don't want people to have that stuck in their face. And so what we do is the elders will meet afterwards and we'll say, we thought that was good. Let's write him a big check. So typically if somebody comes through, we'll write him a $1,000 check. And that's just walking through the door. We might write more if it's great. But the thing is we don't, and every organization we've worked through, when we say that, they go, oh, no problem. Because a lot of churches will have a love offering, you get $200. You get a whole bunch of ones, right? Now, that's no good. Some guy, he flies a plane in from, across the country, and you give him, $200. That didn't pay for his plane ticket. So, as a result, our view on finances here is pretty fiercely independent, too. We only take what's in that offering box. We do not believe in debt. The reason you saw on that one date, I think it was 2012, we paid off debt.
Right.
That was not debt from me or anybody here. That was debt from 20-some years ago on that on this very building. It was started in, what, 1995?
Yeah.
So they had a debt that went, in fact, when I was hired, we had $120,000 debt from this building that had already been here for 10 years. Yeah, 10 years. So we were still paying on the building. And so we paid it off after 4 years of me being here. And since then, we've built that rec building, which is, if you haven't been, that's a nice building. It's been huge pool tables, ping pong tables, classrooms, but that was all debt-free. It took us a couple years because we just, as the money came in, we built, which is the same thing we're doing over here. As the money comes in, we'll build it out. But, so as far as finances, that's much the same thing. And I think that all started because I showed Charlie Mahler. Chris Perkins over here. Yeah. Chris Perkins is not only our secretary, sounds like a grill, doesn't it? But he's on our elder board. He does all the notes and keeps track of everything. But he's also over men's ministry, and especially the men's retreat. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if you ever wanted to help in that ministry in any way or at all, I would point you right directly to Chris. The men's retreats are really good. They're not near as good as the women's, because the women's just go.
Yeah.
We're not going to put chocolates in your pillow. Yeah, we're not going to do that stuff. They get special treatment. Johnny Sylvie is our elder over youth. And so if you have a youth issue, if you have a youth, and you got a problem, you know, you go straight to Zach, who is our youth pastor. And then if you were unsatisfied in some way, you talk to John. Okay? Just to let you know, we keep track of this stuff. When we have an elders meeting, it's real typical. What we'll do, we'll go around the room and we'll have Johnny present, well, how are things going with the youth this last week? For instance, when we meet together next time, how'd 1 weekend go? How many kids you have? Anybody become a believer? Any problems? So we're constantly talking about the health of the church. The elders meet every 2 weeks for 4 hours each time. It's from 6 to 10 every 2 weeks. Wow. And if there's some issue that comes up, because every now and then there's a problem in the church, or especially during budget season, we might meet every week for several weeks. So it's rather demanding, and we do a lot of emails back and forth on a lot of different issues. So we have a list of all the prayer requests. We pray through the list of the people with health issues, job issues, you name it. We think that's our job. Okay, so that's Johnny over the youth. Cal Bogard was an elder for years, off, back on again. And Cal is travels an awful lot. He's a retired captain with the Air Force. And or is he a colonel? I think he's a colonel. He is a colonel in the Air Force. And so Cal's over hospitality. He makes sure that the breakfast on Sunday morning and all that kind of stuff. So that's Cal. Jeff Miller was the chairman of our elder board for years. He's back on the board again. Jeff is—he's always over greeters ministry. So if you want to be a greeter, and you've already heard it so far from several people, how people respond to you as you visit makes a huge difference. We've had people that say that Ernie, your dad, is the reason they're here at Grace, because Ernie Garza was out front of our church and he was so warm. He took my kids to the Sunday school class and he took us and introduced us to people. That's a huge ministry. So if you're kind of a bubbly person, you like meeting new people, that's a ministry. We never have enough people. And you have different time slots at different places, but it's a really important ministry. And Jeff Miller's the person. So if you were to say, Dave, I'd like to be involved, I immediately have Jeff Miller gets your number and he gives you a call. Okay? And Jeff is also over something else, and I don't have my book in front of me.
Men's breakfast,
yeah, on Saturdays, which always Christmas.
First Saturday of each month, unless there's a holiday, and there are several holidays throughout the year that fall on the first Saturday, or so.
July 4th, for instance?
And
you want to mark July 4th. If you've not been to, every July 4th, Gary Gates, who's one of our House representatives here in Texas, he has a huge spread, a ranch, and he supplies all the brisket, sausage, and usually several vegetables. He sets up a dunk tank, slip and slide. He's got his own setup of what kids' monkey bars and that whole big, huge thing for his grandkids. He's got 10 kids. 8 of them adopted. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, it's a huge thing. And then he puts the fireworks on display that's better than what you'll find at any ballpark.
Is it July the 4th?
Mm-hmm. Yes, July 4th at his house, which is 5 minutes from here. Mm-hmm. And I like to always think of Jurassic Park when I think of his fireworks display. He spares no expense. You will be amazed at the fireworks display. So, you know, it was, the kids can show up at 4:30. Those kids, of course, they're going to play on the slip and slide and the water games. I mean, there's volleyball, soccer, football going on. But anyway, it's a huge event. I won't even travel during that time because I don't ever want to miss it. So July 4th. That's big. Unless you have family things going on. Some folks have family things they've been doing for years. But if you don't, oh my! I invited our Nigerian neighbors. They like fireworks, but they don't see them often. And so they came with us, and they just loved it. They loved it. Jim Albert, he was an elder at Katy Bible Church, some Bible church up north of here for years. And he was just voted in as one of our elders. And Jim is over small groups. And that also kind of includes men's Bible studies, which we have several going on. So if you were to say, Dave, I want to be in a men's Bible study, I'd probably have Jim give you a call. And me, you know, I'm over youth, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm over praise team, women's ministry, what else does it say?
Adult education.
I make sure we got Sunday school classes. Right now we have two good classes going on. By the way, if you're somebody who has experience teaching Sunday school, I'm always looking for teachers. The adult class, Kenny's in here, he's just started teaching. And then in the other class, I've got several guys, Richie Bemis, who is teaching, and then Bob Pritchard will be teaching the next 3 weeks. Bob's an interesting cat, ex-Green Beret, and he's just a fascinating person. And so he'll be teaching the next 3 weeks in King's.
And you're over staff.
And I'm over the staff, yeah. So, which is not very big. It's not a huge step at this point. All right. And I'll show you their pictures in a little bit. And we have deacons. Now understand, and I mentioned this, I think, the Sunday of our congregational meeting, and then 2 weeks later. Bible churches are really clear about the fact that we believe there's supposed to be elders to watch over the spiritual needs of the church, and there's also supposed to be deacons which take care of the physical aspects of the church. Deacons, of course, the word just means servant. Diakonos simply means servant. And by the way, like I was talking about the word baptism today, sometimes you'll see the word servant, and if you look it up in Greek, it's diakonos. Okay? It all depends how the translators want. Do they want to say servant, or do they want to say deacon? Well, it's the same with baptism. You can say identify with, or be plunged into, or you can use the word baptism, but usually we just transliterate the word baptism. Much like if you're watching on TV in a Spanish station, and the guy goes, oh, la, 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 Coca-Cola. That's transliteration. He's just kept the word over. But he might use the word Coca-Cola for any soft drink, because in Kansas, what you order is, I'll take a Coke. That means anything from Pepsi to Dr. Pepper. When you say a Coke in Kansas, growing up. I think people are more precise today, but back then it used to just be a Coke, and you could bring it even dark and fizzy, and that's a Coke. Right? Yeah. Okay, so deacons. Deacons take care of the physical aspects of the church. The only reason you have deacons is because in Acts chapter 6, what happened?
Widows weren't taken care of.
So many widows. And the widows were the Hebraic widows. You know, they were, they were the ones getting all the attention. And the Hellenistic, the Greek widows, and of course, they were looked down on because they had embraced Greek culture, Greek language, looked like a Greek, talked like a Greek. And so they just were kind of, you know, looked down on. And they weren't getting fed well enough. And Christianity attracted the lower aspects of the countries and all those nations. And that's why you have so much instructions about how to treat slaves, how slaves are supposed to respond to masters. And women, there was a lot of women in the churches, which, by the way, is still the case. Usually 60% of a church is female. And if you get out in the sticks, it might be 80%. Okay? So because of that, you had deacons appointed to take care of those widows. And then that branched into other things, because the purpose was so that the elders, as I think it was Peter said, that we have time to devote ourselves to the word and to pray. Well, we can't do that if we're turning on the air conditioner and we're coming up here and doing all those other things. So the purpose of the deacons is to take care of the physical things of the church. They have no authority. Mm-hmm. Don't go to a deacon thinking, well, I'm working my way up to the top. He's just going to say, talk to an elder. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that might be different, because in some Baptist churches, a deacon has a certain level of authority. You might have 10 deacons, and the only elder is the pastor. And you don't argue with him. But in some churches, that deacon has a lot of authority and power. In a Bible church, he's simply a person in the church who's taking care of physical aspects of things. Okay? That's an important ministry. I mean, we have to have deacons doing their job. And so we highly prize our deacons. In fact, what will typically happen is you get a couple deacons that said, I'm going to roll off. I've been a deacon for 4 or 5 years. And then we start looking around at guys who, every time we have a men's work day, there he is. Every time we have something where somebody needs to put up tables, there that guy is. And that's the guy who will walk up and say, would you be interested in being a deacon? It's the same way with elders. When we find guys who are leading Bible studies, small groups, wanting to teach, shepherding people, doing one-on-one, that's when we kind of walk up and say, would you be interested in being an elder one day? That's how those people are put forward. Okay? In other words, you recognize the gift, you recognize what they're doing, and then you make it official. You don't pick the guy, okay, well, he's over a big company, he must know how to run things. We'll make him an elder. That's not how you make decisions. Unfortunately, that happens in a lot of churches. Okay, so let me speed on through here. John Hawkins is our new chairman of the deacon board. When there's something going on, like we're having a newcomers class, first thing I do is call John Hawkins and say, John, we're going to need these tables set up. We're going to need this taken care of, this taken care of, and this taken care of. And I don't have to do that. And then Sarah, who's volunteered to be over hospitality, okay, she's underneath Cal because she's over hospitality. She goes in there and helps set everything up while we're all in the church service. So there's a lot of different ministries that will be talked about later that you can jump into. Okay? Keep rolling. Ed Foster, you're going to see Ed a lot. He's the guy that sets up all the for the shooting back here in the back. So the guys all get to know Ed pretty quickly. Ed has every tool there is. Hydraulic lifts.
Three of every tool that there is.
Yeah, yeah. Tractors, he's got it all. So we're going to be on Ed a lot. Neil Modlin, fabulous guy. He goes to First Service. How many of you go to First Service? Okay, First Service was kind of lean. I think, we had some people, and then the rest I'm going to assume is Second Service. But Neil goes to First Service, usually sits on the second row with a big family. And it seems like every couple of years that family gets bigger. I mean, they're adopted, they keep adding. So Neil's one of our deacons. Rendon, you might recognize the name. His son is a famous ball player. He's with the Dodgers now?
He's with the Angels.
Angels, I'm sorry. Rennie lives right across the street. So Rennie's always been real helpful here. Michael Wells, he plays in the band. You'll see him play guitar. Lisa, his wife, is one of our cleaning ladies. Steve Snyder, brand new deacon. Steve hasn't been here all that long. But man, Steve's one of those guys that when he got to this church, he was in Sunday school every week. He was going to whatever he could find to go to. He comes to men's breakfast. Just a real solid guy. And so we saw his desire to do things and made him a deacon. Pat Lemazny, I don't know how many of you know him, but his mustache is easy to spot. They moved here, was it from Seattle or California? Our thing was from California to Seattle here, so this is culture shock, coming here from those crazy places. John Wagner, I have up here. John is in absentia, hiatus right now. He's in Alaska. He's in oil. They moved him up there for 2 years, so you won't see him, but he will be back. Again, this is a guy that can fix and make all sorts of things. He's got his own carpentry shop.
His wife handles the women's ministry.
Yeah, we'll see her picture in a minute. Lauren's over women's ministry. They're a super couple. Very hospitable. Yeah. This is our staff. Again, you've seen this guy. Zach, our youth. I would ask you to be praying for Zach. Zach emailed me 2 days ago and said his dad is passing away. So he said, can you quick get somebody to do the announcements? And so I grabbed Alan Gilley, but he's from Maryland. He's going to be there for the next 2 weeks. He's going to do his dad's funeral. So he was just asking for prayer for the family. Zach's dad. We're so excited about Zach. Zach has a full-time job. He was like dean of students at a big Christian school in Bel Air. I can't remember if he's still that same position or if he's wanted to kind of be the headmaster.
Right.
but that didn't happen
yet. No, so, but anyway, I hate to use the term moonlights, but he's got a full-time job, but he does our youth here as well. And we're really excited. We've had several youth pastors in the past, and nobody has been as mature as Zach. He's a family man. He's got several kids, fabulous wife. He knows how to handle kids. So we feel like we've got a part-time guy doing a full-time job. Very impressed with Zach. And I think most of you know Amy Messina. She's over children's ministry.
Messina.
Yeah. And what that means is she's over nursery as well. So if there's a nursery issue, she's the person you go to. And then she will come to my office, which is right next door, if there's something that Dave had. Because that's happened before. Dave, can you help me know how to handle this situation? Well, I'm the elder over that, so it would be me. And Charles John's our praise team leader. Charles has only been leading praise for, what, 3-4 weeks? 3 weeks, maybe? Something like that.
Yeah, a little bit longer, but this year.
Yeah, he's led it in the past. He's led music worship at retreats. He was leading the youth band for quite some time. So we were real glad when Mark moved on that Charles just said, I'll do it. And so Charles does a great job. He was with Slumber J for years, traveling all over the world. He's led worship in Iraq and India, all sorts of places. And so he was somebody you just were able to just nicely plug right in. So we feel real fortunate to have Charles there. Super guy, super family. He does a lot of ministry in his neighborhood with Indian couples and such. Wendy's our part-time office manager. You'll see her if you come here during the week. She will go to a more full-time status probably sometime this coming year. If you know Sunny, her mom is in kind of bad shape, and then Sunny runs her own business, so eventually she'll be here on a more permanent place. Our accountant, bookkeeper, Pam White, has been here for years. She just moved to South Carolina to be with her daughter, who's had a second child. So she still does a lot of things online. In fact, if you email the office, it goes to her. She still gets it first. She's still doing the bulletin from South Carolina. She sends it, she does it, and then Wendy prints it out. So she still does a lot of finances, bulletins, our Friday email letter. Is everybody getting the Friday email letter? If you aren't, let me know. But every Friday.
I called you this week, and like 15 minutes later, she was emailing me.
Okay, good.
She was all over it.
Good, good. And the purpose of that is there's job openings. We've had people give away washers and dryers. My son got free ones. We've had people give away cars. We've had people give away furniture, nice bedrooms. And then also, if you're looking for a job, we limit it. I don't let people go on there to sell things. They can sell a piece of furniture for, you know, something, but nobody can go online and say, I'd like to do, you know, essential oils. Can I do that, you know, on your Friday mail up or whatever? Mary Kay, I've had somebody say, can I tell people about my... No, we're not. It's not for that. It's for people that want to give away something practically or whatever. And then also, it updates you on what's going on in the church. Our repairman out here is Tim Dawes. You don't see him much because he's in such high demand. It's hard to get that guy in here. He can do anything. And these are our ministry team leaders. Women's ministry is Lauren Wagner. So if you ladies, anything to do with ladies Bible study, any type of ministry, she's who I will always put you in contact with. Chris, as I mentioned, he's over men's ministry. Keith Alley was an elder for several years. He's now taking a break, but he's still over missions. And so in a couple weeks, he'll be here to talk about all of our missions. As I mentioned, Jim Alpert is over small groups. Our East Africa missions, which again will be discussed later. Paul Mitchell, who used to be an elder here for many years, is over that. We have a resource center. It's a decent library. If you go in there and you're looking for, if you're going to be doing a little Bible study, go in there and check it out. I try to stock it with decent commentaries. I don't have every book, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. Good reference books and whatever. And a lot of children's stuff, too. And that's it. Just a couple of things real quickly. I would really encourage you, if there's something here at Grace that you're really concerned about, please come to the elder if it has anything to do with perhaps something that's going on. If you haven't approached, of course, that immediate person who's over that ministry, talk to them. But oftentimes in churches, and again, I grew up, my dad was a pastor at several different churches, so I hear stuff at the dinner table. You grow up with it. But here's what happens. Somebody doesn't like something. Instead of talking to the person in charge or working through the church, they go run to somebody else, and it turns into some type of scuttlebutt. It's not even accurate, and it gets back to you. So we want to fix things if they're a problem, but we can't if somebody is right. I mean, here's an example. Somebody didn't feel we were paying enough money to the nursery workers. This is up in Huntsville. Well, rather than come to us and say, you know, anything at all, they just wrote a letter saying how bad we were for not paying nursery workers more and just stuffed it in a box. Well, what do we do with that? So first thing I do is, how much are we paying them? Okay, so I'd ask the gals in charge, is it okay with you? What do you think? Well, it turned out it was some mom whose daughter was working it. Okay? If people don't put their name on it, we typically just throw it up. Because if somebody wants to share something, we want to be able to give you feedback or to find out more. But we can't do that if it's just an anonymous note. So we really encourage you to do that. And then finally, the last thing is, and similar, please don't use any of the elders' wives or deacons' wives as conduits to get to the pastors. Okay? This is real common. Because, I've had to talk to Brenda several times. Somebody will come to Brenda and say, you know what? This is what's going on. Well, they assume that then Brenda goes and tells me. They're too afraid to talk to one of the elders or myself. It's much easier just to gossip with somebody else. And that's what people do. You know, I just think that was really disgraceful what happened. And then, you know, it just kind of gets passed around. So a long time ago, and the elders' wives pretty much did the same thing. If you tell us something, their response, Brenda's response is going to be, well, you have to talk to Dave or one of the elders. But I'm not an elder. And I'm not a conduit to go take your concern. So if you have something that concerns you, please come to us and let us know. Don't run to Brenda or Denise or some other elder's wife or think, well, I tell a deacon, the deacon's wife will talk to an elder's wife. The elder's wife, that's not how it works. But the problem is, that's what happens in a lot of churches. It just happens that way, and that's not biblical. So we appreciate any feedback we get directly from you. And I guarantee you, it doesn't get dropped. It gets talked about, and it will be thought through. Okay? That's all I have. This is a good time to end it. Do you have any questions at all? Now, either you're very bored and you want to get out here really fast, or I've done a really great job of covering it. I don't know which it is. Okay? Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And by the way, we'll do the same thing next week. And next week, it's going to be Chinese. I hope you like Chinese. But we always have talk jokes for the kids. And we'll meet over there the same thing as we did this week, okay? So let's close in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brady if you'd close us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you allow us to come together. And Lord, to investigate your body, this body of Christ. Lord, may we continue to, as we go out into our mission fields this week, take what we've learned today from your Holy Scripture. Lord, continue as we go into prayer, may we lift up this church, this body of believers, this community, so that we may be a light in the darkness out there. Lord, this is all we pray in your name, your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.